This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. My guest today, author, writer, novelist, Maria Semple. Maria had a 15-year career in television, working on shows Ellen, Mad About You, and Arrested Development. Her first novel, This One Is Mine, was published by Little Brown in December 2008. The best-selling novel, Where'd You Go, Bernadette, was published in August 2012. And this October, her third novel is released, Today Will Be Different. Maria was in town as a teacher at this summer's Aspen Words, where she'd been a student in previous years.
Yes, I came to the Reader's Retreat, which was a big fancy book club, and it got me a pass where I was able to go to all the panels at the Belly Up and all the craft talks, and it was just heaven. And now that I'm teaching, I look at my students with envy, wishing that I could be them hitting all the seminars.
When did they call and ask you to attend this as a guest speaker and a teacher?
It's funny you should say that, because I actually contacted them and I thought, hey, it's about time I'm on the other side of this. It was my way of getting in. And after I did an event with Winter Words with my brother and Lorenzo, he interviewed me for Where'd You Go, Bernadette. And it was, I felt like I had my foot in the door at the Aspen Words among those people. And so I said to them, hey, will you have me in to teach? Because
I do have a little bit of a local connection.
Yes, exactly. And I love teaching. It's just my favorite thing. And I love kind of short, you know, 5-day, 10-day teaching gigs. And so this seemed perfect.
What else are you doing teaching? Tell me other experiences you've had.
I teach at a place called Hugo House in Seattle, which is a writer's house. And the main thing that I teach is about story, is I teach fiction writers about story, because my background is television. And for 15 years, I was every day just, it was called breaking stories. And we would break stories up on the whiteboard and do story beats. And you have to be really ruthless about what's a scene, what's a story, does this move the story forward? And I felt like I developed this really strong muscle for that, that when I go into the world of fiction, it's kind of amazing how little about that people know. And so when I teach, I really don't teach sentences or paragraphs. Or, I mean, honestly, I've never taken a writing class, so I just don't even know what people teach in writing classes. But I teach only story and how to build a novel into a compelling story with strong characters and drives and motivations. It's really screenwriting tricks overlaid onto novel writing.
So you're doing that right now at Aspen Words. And are people coming to you and they'll say, okay, here's my character and this is what's happening, and you help format it or change it or give them new ideas?
Yeah, I think it must be what it's like to get up in front of the Supreme Court, because they tell me about their characters and I just start hitting them with all these questions and basically harass them and badger them about, is there enough motivation? What do they want? What is your character afraid of? Who's the antagonist? And I really try to get them thinking in terms of how to write a compelling story. And another way of saying that is how to have a compelling main character, which I think are one and the same. And I think that the idea of story is very intimidating. I look at these people in my workshop, and I have 11 students. And as soon as I even talk about story, I think they all get this, they get afraid. They think, wait, I never learned that. I don't know what that is. I missed the memo. And the thing is, everyone's kind of missed the memo, except actually for me, who worked in TV for 15 years. But aside from me, the thing is once you really start talking about story, it feels very technical and like this other world, that how could somebody learn that or know what that is? So I try to kind of put that aside and say, let's just talk about a character. And what does the character want? And are they willful? And are they taking actions to get what they want? And so that really helps people to just put all the talk of plotting and story aside, because there are books that teach that, but it's all graphs and charts and it confuses me. And just to boil it down to, what do they want? How far are they going to go to get it? What's getting in their way? And at first, I think everyone slightly looks down on me because they think, oh, we're not writing John Le Carre here. I'm writing a small story, you know, about an orphanage in Guatemala. But the thing is, all those principles have to apply to the smallest book.
To make it true.
Yes, to make it true, and just to make the person want to keep, your reader want to keep turning the pages. And so that's all I'm trying to do, is get them to write books that people are going to want to get to the end of.
It's not dissimilar to what I would imagine an actor would do with developing a character in order to play that person, whether it be on television or in a movie, finding some motivation and some backstory.
Well, that's a really good point, because I actually, a lot of this stuff I learned, and I still apply it to novel writing, is, in fact, I just finished a new novel, and as I was writing it, I would find that I would go into my boyfriend's office. His name is George Meyer. He's a TV writer as well. And sometimes I would be working on a scene or a part of the book, and I would be kind of confused about what was going on, and I would actually find myself saying the words, "I don't know what the actress is playing." And it's not because I am imagining this being a movie. It's because I really remember, and particularly on the show Mad About You with Helen Hunt, who's really a wonderful, very serious actress. And we would write these, you know, scripts for her, and she would come into the writer's room and say, "I don't know what I'm playing in this scene." And I'd say, "Oh, well, you want to get to the play on time, but you're also worried that your mother hasn't called and maybe something's wrong with her, and also the souffle has to be put in the oven at 6 and she would just go, "What? Like, are you kidding me? Like, how do I play that?" And so, and she would call it, "I feel like I'm chasing 3 rabbits. I'm chasing a bunch of bunnies." And that really became an indelible image for me, because even when you're writing novels, I don't care what it is, you really need to write one thing, which is not to say that there can't be dread and regret and kind of undercurrents of not wanting to do the one thing, you know, that you have to have a pure motivation. Right now, I'm happy to be here. I'm also nervous. I'm also worried I'm going to self-sabotage. You know what? Say too much, start bad-mouthing Helen Hunt. You know, so I'm now, there's all these other things going on right now. But basically, I'm now, the actress right now is playing the scene that I want to give a good radio interview.
Who does this really well in novels today or historically? I mean, who do you think is really particularly good at it?
I'd say any character you love, the person did it great. You know, it's just the indelible characters. You know, it's Dorothea Brooke in Middlemarch. It's Humbert in Lolita. It's anybody, I think, who you feel you're on the journey with them. It's basically if you're on a journey with someone and you feel like you want to just connect with them and be with them, then the writer has done a good job.
So that brings me to Bernadette.
Yes.
One of the best written characters of recent time.
Thank you.
Where is she right now? What's happening with Bernadette?
Bernadette is being developed into a movie. We have a terrific writer-director, Richard Linkletter, who did Boyhood, and he's written a wonderful script. And I think we are maybe very soon ready to announce an actress. Which I can't do. That's one thing I know I can't do on the radio right now. I'm sorry, folks.
Darn it.
Sorry, Carolyn.
Can't get that scoop.
I know, Carolyn. Sorry, off the air. I was going to find out. But the big hope is to start shooting that next year. He's terrific. He came out up to Seattle and we hung out for several days and I showed him Bernadette's house and where I thought Gaylor Street School was and all the, I kind of showed him the geography. We really connected. He's a really wonderful guy. It was nothing but talk of how much I'm going to love him and what a great guy he is. And it really was true. We really hit it off.
There's such a sense of place, too. I'm sure that they're going to be shooting on location.
You would hope. But unfortunately, Vancouver is what shoots for Seattle now. I know it totally sucks because of their incentive program. I think that Rick Linkletter really, more than any, I think one of his major priorities was to get the thing shot in Seattle. He shoots all of his stuff on location. And it's just one of these budget things. So we're still figuring it out. But the dream is to shoot it in Seattle. And whether some of that moves to Vancouver will be up to the budget.
Are you getting a writing credit on it?
No, just based on my novel.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guest is Maria Semple, an American novelist and screenwriter. Her novels include This One Is Mine from 2008, Where'd You Go, Bernadette in 2012, and her latest novel, Today Will Be Different, will be released this fall. Do you get pressure at all to write a sequel to that book from either yourself or your people?
No, certainly not from myself. And people ask it, just kind of fans do. You know, my editor doesn't, my publishers don't particularly, because I think they know how these things work. That was a real work of literature, to be pretentious for a moment, and that it really was kind of a artistic expression on my part, and it really came from a moment in my life. And I think they haven't even asked me about it, and I think that the way that they look at things and the way that I look at things, I'd have to be really pretty much out of ideas for me to do that. I'm right now declaring it would be a creative defeat, a defeat of imagination if I ever turn that out. That said, to do my own segue, the new novel does take place in Seattle, and it does, it's very much the same world as Bernadette. And in fact, Bernadette makes a cameo in the new book, which I'd say 50% of the people can tell that it's her, and a lot of them it gets past, which is the idea, you know, that it's not really about her. She just is kind of she passes through a scene. And the son in my new book, who's 8 years old, Timby, he goes to the new Gaylor Street School, which is Bernadette's old house that she, at the end of Bernadette, sold to the Gaylor Street School for $1 to donated it to and made it the new campus of the Gaylor Street School. So again, this is really just a little kiss that I sent out to the Bernadette people. And that really is just to show that Bernadette did redo her house, and now it's the Gaylor Street School.
Can you tell us the title?
It's called Today Will Be Different. And it takes place in one day in Seattle. And it's a woman who wakes up, and the book starts with a paragraph, which is a paragraph that I actually wrote when I was trying to figure out what my new book was. And I thought, I can't just generate it. I can't just come up with a plot for the sake of coming up with a plot. I have to tap into something that's deep and that's painful and that's something that has a lot of energy, negative energy, I would say, that would be able to kind of carry me through a year of writing a book, like what's a shameful part of me. And I sat down and I thought, wow, I'm now successful. I have a really successful novel. I'm in a great relationship. I have a healthy kid. What do I have to complain about? And so I sat down and I wrote, today will be different. Today I will be present. Today, everyone I'm talking to, I will look them in the eye. Today I will get dressed into proper clothes. I will initiate sex with my boyfriend. I will play a board game with my daughter. I will, you know, it goes on to a few of the things, the very small things that I know would make my life better and make the people around me happier. And yet I never do them. And every day I go to sleep feeling full of regrets and self-loathing that, oh, all I had to do was, when my kid said, will you play Clue, not just be on the internet, you know, and go, no, I'll play it tomorrow, and blow off, you know, just this awful, not present state. And I wrote that page not knowing what it would be. And I looked down at it and I thought, oh my God, I think that's the first page of my book. And so it's about a woman who wakes up and wants to be the best version of herself. And she sets the bar almost comically low in terms of what she hopes to accomplish that day. It's really just like put on gloves, you know, and don't spread an enormous amount of pain out into the world. Just try to make it just go through the day without having made it a worse place.
Inflict too much damage.
Yeah, on those around you and those who you love. And so she tries to do that, and then life gets in the way, and it's a rollicking, fun book full of surprises, and I'm very happy with it.
How fast did it roll off?
Not fast enough. It was a lot harder than Bernadette because I think that there's a lot more ideas in the book, and it's written in first person, and it's very much in this woman's head. And I felt like I was trying to put a lot of ideas across, a lot of ideas that I think that are funny, kind of crazy concepts, that when you try to put them down on paper, it was very hard to word a lot of the stuff. That was the weird thing that was hard for me about it, is I felt like in Bernadette, it was a lot of kind of characters interacting, and I didn't have to kind of explain a lot of stuff. And even though it's not going to seem explained at all, this book is. It's really fast and it's fun. And a lot of these concepts that I write about, people really love them and get them. And Carolyn is an old friend. You've heard most of them, basically. It's just all the stuff that I'm always talking about.
Yay. But, okay, good. Maria-isms.
Yes, it's a lot of Maria-isms. And so it was just ended up being hard kind of putting them across clearly. And just weaving all the threads together, it's actually an incredibly complicated book, even though it seems, you know, like what can happen in a day. And that really was the hardest thing, was that how do I stay true to my premise, which is that it's an ordinary day that is not like suddenly she's Jack Bauer having to save right. the assassination of a president, or how to prevent the assassination of a president. What she wants to do is just go through life with a certain amount of dignity. And then the stuff that gets thrown in her path, there is extraordinary stuff that gets thrown in her path, but it was just finding the levels of it to make it dramatic enough, but not to undermine the premise that this was an ordinary day. That was a really hard challenge. As soon as I thought that, I thought, oh God, to write a rollicking page turner that only takes place in one day, and the stakes of it are by definition only the things that can get resolved in a day. Because, you know, you're not going to resolve really long term grievances or marriage problems or any of this stuff in one day, you know, but how can you somehow feel like the world has changed at the end of the day without making it seem unrealistic?
It sounds like it was a bit self-reflective and self-analytical too, which made it more difficult, even because when you were talking about Bernadette, there was some distance there, even though there was a lot of familiarity.
Yes, and in fact, the hardest thing about this new book was that I had written the book, it was funny, it was rollicking along, and several of my first readers said, you know, there's not that emotional depth. They were like, we're waiting for it to kind of go to a different place, and it feels like farcical. And that was really painful to hear, because I was saying, oh, it's about all these much deeper things. But you know, it just wasn't in the book, you know. And I think that, yeah, there was a resistance on my part to put it in. But the few people who've read the book so far really feel like it's a lot deeper than Bernadette, that it goes to a much more deep, raw place, which I really feel like it does. So I'm very glad now that I did all that work on it, that I don't want to say it's a sadder book, because I do think that Bernadette is sad in a lot of ways. But I think that there's some raw emotional truth in it that is painful for me, but I can see that so far, it seems to be resonating with people, which makes me happy.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guest is Maria Semple, an American novelist and screenwriter. Her novels include This One Is Mine from 2008, Where'd You Go, Bernadette in 2012, and her latest novel, Today Will Be Different, will be released this fall. What's the character's name again?
Her name is Eleanor Flood.
Was there a Flood sister?
Yes, The Flood Girls was my first attempt at an Aspen book. It was called The Flood Girls, and I actually sold this book as The Flood Girls, as about these sisters in Aspen who lived down the street in the house that Butch Glidden lived in. Do you know what I'm talking about? The one on the corner. Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah.
But it was Butch's
house. It's a
house
still.
Yeah, it's a house, and I don't know who lives there, but it was Butch Glidden's house, right, three houses down
right.
from where we sit here. And I had this whole story for it, but it just wasn't popping. It wasn't really going anywhere, and it felt like just kind of pedestrian for some reason. I wasn't having enough fun with it. And so I put it aside and came up with this crazy new idea, this new book, Today Will Be Different. But there is an element of the Flood Girls in it, in that my character is an illustrator who wrote a graphic novel called The Flood Girls, or a graphic thing, piece, I don't know, it never became a novel, called The Flood Girls. And she grew up in Aspen in the 70s, and there's an illustrated section, there's a 16-page illustration, illustrated section color that's all Aspen in the 70s growing up. And it's going to be really fun. There's a lot of old Aspen stuff in it, of how we grew up. And, you know, there's a cameos by Bill Sterling and Jim Salter. And it's pretty funny. There's some good old time Aspen stuff that I think people here are really going to love.
And what's the publishing date?
October 4th.
Okay. Before we go, before I let you go, I want to ask you about, at the beginning, you talked a lot about character development and you talked about television. There's been much made lately about TV and the unleashing of the creative forces now have moved into television and the way they can almost novelize television in a way that hasn't been able to happen before. Are you a fan of television? Do you watch television? Have you noticed anything like that? And do you miss it?
It's certainly changed. I mean, the binge watching, you know, there are even things like, I think when I was in TV, there was so much talk of act breaks, which were commercial breaks, right? And then, of course, cliffhangers from episode to episode. And now I don't think you think in those terms anymore. You don't think about week to week, you know? And I think that I can't even watch shows week to week from now on. If there's a show that I like, I will wait till basically the season's over. I'll watch one and then wait for the season to end so I can watch
the
eight
whole
in a row.
Like reading a book.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't watch as much TV as people might. I feel like I'm just I just don't really know what to watch. I'm very like an old person, or maybe old people probably do watch more TV than I do. But of course I watch The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and Mad Men or whatever. And then Homeland, The Affair, these are just kind of random shows that I watch. And a lot of them I don't even really like very much. But I just kind of started them and I don't know what else to watch. And House of Cards I like, that's fun. The Wire, of course, the greatest thing ever. And so, yeah, I think that it would be really fun to get in there and write a show under these new parameters where it's not just, I think you always want to do cliffhangers. I think, you know, any writer is going to want to do cliffhangers and you're going to end a show on a good, interesting, juicy note, you know, to watch next week's show. And I think that's just basic drama, you know, of like what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next. But maybe you put that in the middle of a show and you don't have to put it at the end of a show every time. And so I think that the rules that have obviously really changed, and I get a little rankled when people say it's novel writing, because I know what TV is. TV is collaborative.
Oh, when they compare.
Yeah, when they compare the two. Oh, it's the new, you know, if Dickens was writing, he would be writing TV and all that stuff. And that's where I draw a line, and I'll just say, like, step back. You know, until you write a novel, you tell me that it's like writing a novel, because it's not like writing a novel.
So solitary.
It's so solitary. You are so on your own. You have nobody to help you. And you are inventing everything from the ground up. And there are no constraints in, I think, a more difficult way. I think that in TV, no matter what you do, you'll always have budgets. You'll always have a number of sets. You'll always have a certain number of days with the actor because they have shooting a movie. And there's all these
limits,
these things that confine you, which actually I think make it easier. You need something to push back on. You need restraints. With novel writing, you are truly writing every single novel from scratch. You are inventing your style. You're inventing the characters. You're inventing the writing style. And then, you know, yeah, there's dialogue in TV, but I have to write dialogue in novels, and then I have to write good sentences. You know, I have to then actually craft really good prose sentences.
And character.
Yeah, and character, and it's not like I'm letting, you know, Christopher Walken come in and bring all the history of him being a psycho to the character, you know, even if he's like a nice dad. Oh, played by Christopher Walken. Wow. Wow. What a complex character, you know, and it's because you're getting all of that. You have to do that from scratch. So I do think that it's certainly more novelistic, and maybe I'm just being proud and deluded, but I think it's a lot harder to write novels. And I think any kind of screenwriting after writing novels is like going from swinging from three bats to one bat. It just feels like, okay, yeah, let's just do this. Let's just knock this thing off.
Do it in your sleep.
Exactly.
So the limitless possibilities of the blank page, and you are liberating, more fun.
It's more fun, much more fun, but it's much harder because you can't blame anyone for anything. Even people who write on these really good shows, and I know a lot of these writers, they are constantly bitching about, you know, the budget, and the actors are no good, or the director made us do that, or, you know, they're constantly not getting to do what they want, you know, and you don't have anyone to hide behind when you're writing a novel. It's all you. And you're just like, yeah, this is the best I can do. And you're not saying, oh, the director screwed up that scene, or, oh, that actor didn't do what we wanted, or, you know. So I actually think what feels like freedom and this beautiful thing is actually much more terrifying. And it's a real gut check because you're out there alone. It's a much bigger risk artistically, I will say, you know. In TV, you're always part of a group, and it's fun. It's great to be part of a group, to collaborate, but I don't know that there's anyone in TV who is not going around disgruntled that they would have done it another way except for, you know, this idiot on their right, you know what I mean? And that's not, you really don't have the luxury of hiding behind people in fiction writing.
Maria Semple, author of Today Will Be Different, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And this one is mine. Three times now. Published novelist, writer, and teacher at Aspen Words. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Carolyn.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.